This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and thank you so much for joining me today, and we hope you join us every week at this time, because our mission is to talk to you about subjects that we think are important and topical and educational and local for all of us who live here, particularly in the Western New York community. Well, of course, we're happy to be back with fresh shows since we haven't been able to talk to anybody except, well, we're on the telephone and we're distant to each other, except for Kevin, who's in the studio with me, my wonderful producer, engineer, and friend. Thank you, Kevin. I couldn't do this without you. And so we thought today, since we're able to get back and talk to you live and in person, in a sense, about local important issues, we're going to be talking about, of course, COVID-19, but what we really want to talk about is the pandemic's effect on mental health. Because actually, last week on our first shows, we talked somewhat about physical health, and we talked about preparations and masks and different physical effects that COVID could have or did have. But today, as I said, I thought it would be important to discuss the mental health issue because we have heard and read about so many tragedies that have been a consequence of many times of COVID and a pandemic, such as the feelings of depression, isolation, even so far as drug abuse and suicide. So we, of course, went to our experts and our very dear friends, and that is the people at Brylin Behavioral Health System, to get information and to talk to someone who we thought might be able to give you and answer some questions about mental health that you have. And today we're going to be talking to Anthony Sarzanowicz, and Anthony is the Vice President of Patient Care Services at Brylin Behavioral Health System. Anthony, hello, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
Well, I know because, as my listeners know, I've been very, very involved for many years with all of the services and a proponent of the services that Brylin has. And I know how important they have been during this pandemic. But I think it would be a good way to begin by asking you how the pandemic has been affecting people with mental health issues, because you're more of an expert than I am, obviously.
So the pandemic has directly affected everyone's life and has really started to allow people to have or feel greater threats that are not clear to them, because there is no end in sight to this pandemic. Now, you add that to the trauma that's compounded by the financial stresses that are associated with that, the ongoing political divide that we are seeing in our society today, the civil unrest, and all of that culminates into people starting to feel unsure in society. Now, in May, the Centers for Disease Control released some data, and their data revealed that one-third of the American population is showing some signs of clinical anxiety and depression. When people start to feel threatened or their lives are altered in major ways, they start to become irritable. There's disruption in sleep, in their appetite. They start having issues with concentration. They have repetitive thoughts involving like hopelessness, helplessness, and danger. And that could lead to behaviors like alcohol, drug use, certainly things of that nature. And because of that, we here would like to help anyone who is dealing with any of these issues so that we can really make sure that people are at their best mental well-being as possible.
You know, probably a lot of the people that we've talked about that are feeling these mental health issues actually had mental health issues before, and this situation is probably just exacerbating it. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. People with mental health issues, their feelings start to intensify, and their symptoms start to intensify. So things like when they feel anxiety, for example, their exhaustion or fatigue gets intensified. That guilt and irritability starts to show itself more and more. They certainly will have intrusive thoughts and sleep problems. So all of this can really affect how one functions in life, and it really has a destabilizing effect on individuals with mental health issues.
You know, I think when you mentioned the different problems, the isolation, when it first started, probably one of the worst issues that people were facing was the idea of not being able to see other people, talk to other people, interact with other people, which is a very important part of our daily lives and of staying mentally healthy, correct?
Absolutely. Social engagement. Remember, we as human beings are social beings, so we want to engage. We want to talk with other people. And this pandemic has caused so much isolation that it is devastating. Just look at your nursing homes where they have not opened up visitation, and the challenges and the situations that are going on there just show how devastating this pandemic has really affected all people, especially those with mental health issues.
And when you mentioned, I was going to talk about the isolation as far as the nursing home goes, but that just shows in a way that we're talking about, we could talk about, and we will, every age group. You think it might affect just the people in nursing homes that we talked about who are our senior population, but actually I found out, like even at Brylin, it affects younger people as well.
Oh, absolutely. Remember, children, this is probably the first time they're going through any type of situation like this, especially surrounding the school and not being really cognizant of how they're going to go about school, breaking their routines, especially around summers, certainly adults, and everything that goes along with the uncertainty that is there, the social isolation, certainly not knowing financially how they're going to survive. All of this compounds the situation going on today.
And then they have a lot of not action interaction, no interaction with their peers, or very little interaction with their peers. And that is such an important thing, particularly for young people.
Absolutely.
Now, how would you recognize, talking about young people, for example, how would you recognize signs that somebody needed help? When should they seek help? What signs would there be? Young people, and I guess adults as well, might have the same symptoms or signs that they need help, that it's not just something that's treatable by time passing or that will go away on its own, that kind of thing.
So I think the first sign that people really seeing is this overwhelming irritability that is portrayed with acting out behaviors such as aggression, sometimes violence. Self-harm is another one. Some people will unfortunately hurt themselves in situations like this. Pressure, people who cannot function and they just feel as though the world is coming in on them and there's nothing that they can do. Repetitive thoughts that can't go away, and they just can't shut off their mind. These are common symptoms that one would see moving forward. And all of them are linked to the lack of a person functioning and doing the daily life skills that they have.
Now, some of these are indications prior to or generally, not just related to mental health during pandemic, but in general, when you talk about how do you know when somebody is suffering from depression that needs treatment, for example, as opposed to something that is just situational and will go away by itself?
Correct. A lot of these symptoms are symptoms that people are having, even if we were not in a pandemic. Exactly. I think that the issue is that the pandemic is intensifying these to a point where people are not only losing their functional capabilities, but also are so distraught that they are hurting themselves. They are utilizing alcohol and drugs. The latest research shows that alcohol and drug abuse has intensified. Domestic violence has intensified. And these are all, again, byproducts of the symptoms that people are having and the way that they are trying to deal with or cope with the situation at hand.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking to Anthony Sarzanowicz, who is the VP of Patient Crisis Services at Brightland Behavioral Health Systems. Now, is there something that before people need treatment or have to go for treatment, is there some ways that they could try to manage their conditions and their emotions by themselves or with help outside, you know, for family or something like that?
Absolutely, Penny. So if we start talking about what can people start to do, one of the things they can start to do is control their exposure to the news. Set a limit of how much time they're going to watch television or look at the news. Because if you are steeped in all of this stuff and you ruminate over it, you will have to ask yourself, where is that line between watching the events are and not being able to pull things together or pull yourself away from what's going on? In that same situation, I think you have to look at the objective news outlets. You know, you hear today about false or fake news and all of this sensationalizing of the situation. Really look at what you're reading and what you're watching and limit that exposure. Another thing that you can do is practice mindfulness. Take very easy 3 to 5 minutes a day and meditate in the morning. Mindfulness meditation early in the day, it lowers these stress hormones that we have in our body going on, like cortisol, that kind of triggers the fight and flight response. And when they're more elevated, mindfulness and meditation can relax that and allow for that to subside. Exercise to strengthen your brain. I know that people think that there is not a mind-body connection, but there is. So general exercise, just trying to keep fit. Keeping a daily journal, writing down how you're feeling and what you're thinking. It's another way of really processing the events of what are happening in the current day and processing how you're feeling and thinking about what's going on. Now, we talked about social isolation, and I am going to say one of the ways we can manage our emotions is to find ways to be social. Now, we might have to modify that. Because we have to safely social distance, we may do phone calls. We might schedule with the technology today, FaceTiming people. Penny, you and I are in that age demographic that we used to do letters. Do you remember writing letters?
I do, yes.
So writing letters to family members, sending cards, even the new technology of doing emails, any way to allow you to get some kind of socialization will help tremendously. Now, in a safe way, certainly with social distancing, as the state opens up, volunteering can help out in the community. There are many organizations out there that are asking for our volunteers, and as long as you are following the safety concerns from the CDC, you're wearing your mask, you're washing your hands, you're social distancing, you can participate in some type of community volunteerism. Another thing you can do is do something you enjoy to take your mind off of the things that are going on. Reading a book, listening to some favorite music that you have. Again, going hiking, as long as you're following and being reasonable with the CDC guidelines. Doing activities that might help you. Puzzles, crossword puzzles or things of that nature. Certainly any activity that takes your mind off of what's going on. Here's another one, simple yoga. Yoga can keep you in the here and now and keep you present and give you that relaxing, stretching positivity that one person has. And it doesn't have to be in a class. You can do it on your own, in your own home. And another thing I will add is getting adequate sleep. I think that as Americans, we are go-getters and we're always constantly moving, but we have to take time to relax and get the proper amount of sleep. And you want to schedule your rest periods and get that body clock going so that you start feeling as though you're refreshed and feeling better. You know, everyone should be taking optimal care of their general health. There is certainly everything that we talked about that builds the internal resiliency we have as human beings when we do these things.
All of these are such good tips. I can't thank you enough. I'm so glad that we talked about that. And when you very first thing you said, I know so many people who have said to me, the very first thing you said, I am turning off my TV and my radio and I am not reading the newspaper or whatever magazine anymore. I'm just going to, like you just said, listen to music. If I hear anything, I'm not going to listen to one more thing about the news or watch it. And just the opposite of, I know so many people that have it on 24 hours a day. When you walk into their home, right? They have the TV on 24 hours a day with all of this terrible news and all the things that are happening and, you know, sort of not one positive thing to take, nothing to take their mind off, as you, all of the tips you just gave to take your mind off the terrible things that are happening outside. So you're absolutely right. You're so right. I also heard somebody say that when they wake up in the morning, besides the mindfulness, which you've been discussing, they should make a list, write down five things that you're grateful for or that you're happy about. And so I'm adding that to your list of what people can do, Anthony.
That is a good, and that is positive reinforcement and positive affirmations are absolutely necessary. And writing five things down, just to focus on those five things is a tremendous help. Absolutely.
Now let's talk about the other side. Let's assume that you have been able to try to manage your emotions and with the various ways that the various tips that you just gave, which were so good, but you can't, and you're struggling with your mental health, or you know somebody who is, your child is, your spouse is. How would they contact Brylin, and what would they say, and what kind of support would they get? How would they know what kind of treatment they need?
So we have professionals here 24/7. And they would just have to call 886-8200, or they can go on the website of brylin.com. And we are here to service. So we can do phone screens. We can certainly bring people in if they need help. We also have a full outpatient both for mental health issues and substance use issues, because we cannot overlook the addiction part of the situation. People who are trying to deal and they have an addiction problem will use more drugs and alcohol during this time and then that leads to more negative behaviors. So we have full counseling. One of the things I do want to talk about in our outpatient program is that we are working with the Centers of Psychiatric Excellence, and we partnered with them to develop a therapy for people who are affected by COVID-19 and have mental health issues like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, or even addiction issues. So in our outpatient facility at Farber Lakes in Williamsville, we have a model of care that is based on anyone who is affected with a mental health issue or a substance use issue, and they need specific treatment around how they're feeling with COVID-19. And that therapy model is based on the acceptance and commitment therapy. It's mindfulness based to decrease stress, and it also teaches resiliency and crisis counseling. The treatment is administered six times on weekly intervals. They are individual therapy sessions, about 40 to 50 minutes long, and they are via telehealth platform. So if people are fearful of coming in, they can do telehealth. It is specifically designed to help patients adapt to the negative emotions and behaviors associated with COVID-19 concerns, and it is a best practice that we are working, again, I said, with the Centers of Psychiatric Excellence. If people need to talk and they are not sure, they certainly can call us at our central number. We have people on the phone that we will engage them in, screen them with screening questions, and link them to the right service that they desire.
Again, we're going to tell Anthony again, would you tell everybody how they can, you know, call you or reach you or contact Brylin?
Sure. They can contact us by calling our central number, 886-8200. If they would like to contact the outpatient and they're looking for the Brylin Outpatient Mental Health Clinic, that number is 632-5450. And they always can look on our website, brylin.com. That's BRYLIN.com.
Now, there might come a time in a person's life or somebody that's listening who might need more than telehealth or who might need more treatment or have to be an inpatient rather than an outpatient, as we're talking about. What would they be able to do that now during COVID?
Oh, absolutely. Penny, we have not only placed all of the CDC guidelines, but we have gone over and above to keep the COVID virus out of our hospital inpatient treatment units. So since March, we have diligently pre-screened, screened, and really kept anyone who became COVID positive out of our hospital. Our hospital is very safe. Our hospital is very aware of the situation, and we want to maintain that we provide the services to everyone that need the services. So we have a child and adolescent unit where we have children from the age of 5 to 17 that can come in and seek treatment. And we also have an adult unit, so that's anyone 18 years and above. And if they need that inpatient treatment, they certainly can come in and we can give them that intense treatment that they need. And I want people to understand that it's safe. It's COVID-free at this time, and we are maintaining the highest of standards to make sure that we can continue to service the community in the safest way possible.
One of the reasons that I asked that, and it's so important, is because you kept hearing about other people that had problems during COVID but were afraid to call their doctor or afraid to go to the hospital other than COVID. You know, they needed some kind of surgery for their hip or treatment or tests, and everyone was afraid to go. And it's the same, I think, with happening with mental health. People might be putting it off or afraid to, you know, to go for help because of COVID, which is going to only make things worse.
Absolutely. I think that it is very important for people to understand that both their physical and their mental health has to be taken care of so that they do not get into crisis or they don't fall into a chronic situation where it harms them in any way. That they, if they need treatment, they should seek treatment in the safest place possible. And like I said, we here at Ryland are committed to keeping everything safe, keeping the services going, and to provide those services for our community and the eight counties within the Western New York area.
Oh, that's important. We should mention at the end where how extensive locality or physical places that are available.
So, as people may not realize, we do service all eight counties within the Western New York area and beyond. We take referrals from other agencies, and all they need to do is contact us, call us, and we will facilitate providing the service that is needed, whether it's an inpatient service on a mental health unit or an outpatient service in our outpatient provider.
So wherever our listeners are and wherever they are listening, there is help available to them through Brylin, and we thank you so much for talking to us. And we have been talking to the Vice President for Patient Care Services, Anthony Zarzanowicz, from Brylin Behavioral Health System. And we hope that we have helped you on target. And we hope that you will listen to us again next week at the same time on the same station. Have a good, healthy, wonderful week, everybody. Talk to you soon, and goodbye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.